In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Morant with a running start. Elevates! Oh, it dunks! Oh, my goodness! Thomas! Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heat. It's gone! It's all time! 17 for me.
Now a three. Count it!
A 15-point play for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception to something. The officials break it up quickly.
Griffin. See, he just locked his arm and then kind of pulled him over. Zach falls down, and then, you know what, a little elbow there.
Oh, he's digging the elbow.
Yeah, you know.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Keith Parrish. We've got some Grizzlies news. First and foremost, we have a preseason schedule. That's pretty exciting. The Memphis Grizzlies will play basketball on Saturday, December 12th against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're going up to Minneapolis and going to play the Timberwolves on Saturday the 12th and then again on Monday the 14th. Then they will return home and host the Atlanta Hawks on Thursday, December 17th, and Saturday the 19th. All these games are listed at 7 p.m. Central Time. So the Grizzlies are going to play two games against the Timberwolves. I'm sure Dylan Brooks is excited. And they're going to play two games against the Hawks. These should be very intriguing preseason games because it's going to be Summer League wrapped up into preseason, because it'll be our first chance to see the rookies play for every team. And beyond that, you know, teams are trying to get ready for the season that's happening imminently, and they got to figure out lineup combinations. So I feel like it's going to be probably the most exciting preseason ever for that reason. Hopefully League Pass can get everything sorted out by then, and it won't be hard to watch these games. But we actually have games on the schedule. The real NBA schedule is going to be released in two parts. They're going to release the first half and then give themselves some wiggle room because of COVID-19 to rearrange things as needed after that. And it probably is prudent because there's almost no way this goes off without a hitch. But I don't know the actual date that's going to be released. I would assume the first half is going to be released very, very soon because training camps open in about a week. Media day is coming up. There's like a lot of media actually kind of all through the next week starting in December. So it's real. The season is here. Big news for the Grizzlies. They released a new set of jerseys. I know this is an audio medium. Hopefully you've seen the jerseys. They're inspired by Stax Records and Isaac Hayes. They're black. They're supposed to resemble a vinyl record with some grooves on them. I love these jerseys. I'm very excited. The Grizzlies got their own City Edition jerseys this year that I think are very, very nice. They don't require a story to enjoy them. And once you find out the little details, you kind of like them even more. But I'm a huge fan of these new jerseys. Admittedly, I'm not a big fan of the Grizzlies jerseys overall. The navy jerseys and the white jerseys, I think, are kind of bad. The light blue jerseys, I like the shorts a lot. But I'm not a big fan of the Grizzlies jerseys overall. That's why I was so excited about the turquoise throwbacks last year and so excited about them bringing the 20th season in Memphis, bringing those black jerseys back this season. So they're going to add these new city jerseys into the rotation. They're calling them Soul City jerseys. The turquoise jerseys are out, by the way, unless I misunderstood something. They're not going to wear the Vancouver throwbacks at all this season, which I find like sad and upsetting. They're going to rotate through the regular navy, white, and light blue, plus the black 20th anniversary in Memphis jerseys, and then the brand new black Soul City jerseys. So that's the jersey rotation, the five jerseys that will be used this season. I very much just want them to use the turquoise, the old blacks, and then these new City Edition blacks. Yes, it would be good to have some white jerseys. You know, let's use the Vancouver throwback white ones if we need some white ones. But anyway, that's some info on the jerseys. As far as the roster, like we said, nothing else happened after they got all their guys signed, after they retained D'Anthony Melton and John Conchar and Jonte Porter. Still no other moves, no other whispers or rumors of them making a deal to get rid of one of the Marco Guterich or Mario Hezonja or anybody else. I think this is going to be our team, and they're eventually just going to waive Marco and Mario. At least that's my guess. The contract details of Conchar and Melton and Porter came out. They're kind of interesting. I think there's a lot of questions about, you know, these deals and if they're too big or too long or whatever. D'Anthony Melton's deal, like I told you last episode, is front-loaded. It's a descending deal. I didn't get the numbers exactly right, but he's going to make $9.6 million this season. And then in the last season of his deal, 4 years from now, that's down to $8 million. But the last season of Melton's contract is just $1.5 million guaranteed. So if something happens and for whatever reason the Grizzlies don't want to keep him, or whatever team he's on at that point doesn't want to keep him, that salary in 2023-24 is just $1.5 million guaranteed. The Conchar deal, not a lot of downside. It's an interesting deal because it resembles basically what you would pay a second-round pick, just a little bit more than what you would pay a second-round pick. And I guess that makes sense, but it's guaranteed for the next two seasons. It's a four-year deal, but only the next two seasons are guaranteed at $2.1 million and $2.2 million. The third year of the deal is $840,000 guaranteed. So kind of a good chunk of it, a little more than the 35% of the deal is guaranteed. And then the fourth year of the Conchar deal is totally non-guaranteed. So like I was saying last episode, this is a good deal for the Grizzlies. It's a team-friendly deal. If Conchar develops into a regular role player or rotation player that, you know, he fits on the squad, he's part of your 12-man, you know, lineup, then he gets in every now and then, it's cheap. It's very, very cheap. And you get to keep him for four seasons. If it turns out he's not that, all right, you invested $5 million spread out over 2.5 seasons, basically. So if he hits, you get him for cheap. It's the same deal with Jonte Porter. Jonte Porter's deal this season is guaranteed. Next season is only $300,000 guaranteed. So they'll have a season to check him out for $2.2 million. And then the third season is totally non-guaranteed. So it's, again, low risk. They're paying someone nearly the minimum. They did have to use some of their MLE to pay Jonte Porter's salary, but he's making very close to the minimum, and if he's good, they get him for three seasons. So it's a great deal for them. The Xavier Tillman contract, the second-round picks contract, he signed a four-year deal. We don't know the specifics of that, but I would guess it's very similar to Conchar's deal. I assume the first 2 years are guaranteed, and there's some kind of guarantee in the third year, and then the fourth year is totally non-guaranteed. So there are numerous players that the Grizzlies are hoping a couple of them pan out and become cheap rotation players down the line. If they become even better than rotation players, well, that's just a home run. That's a winning lottery ticket if one of these guys becomes a starter level or more. So that's why they've signed all of these. Desmond Bane, his contract as a first-round pick, it's slotted into the rookie wage scale based on his draft slot. And so he's the 30th pick. He has the cheapest contract of all the first round picks. There were some interesting details that Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian dug out about the trade which landed Desmond Bane. It was a three-way deal, like you know, with the Celtics and Trailblazers. The Celtics sent Enes Kanter to the Trailblazers. Chris was pointing out that in that deal, the Grizzlies sent cash to the Trailblazers, and he was guessing, and it makes sense to me, that the Trailblazers are probably getting money from the Grizzlies to help cover the difference between Mario Hezonja's salary and Enes Kanter's salary. So there's a chance that while Kanter's salary isn't counting against the Grizzlies' salary cap, they took in Hezonja, who made almost $2 million, and then sent some money to the Trailblazers to facilitate that deal. Makes sense to me, but we thought the Grizzlies would absorb Kanter's salary to slide up to the 30th pick. Turns out, you know, they sent two future second-round picks and sent some cash to the Trailblazers to help out, and Boston got off the money they wanted to get off of. So that's how the Grizzlies end up with Desmond Bane. So that's some contract details. We did also find out some jersey numbers, which is kind of fun. Desmond Bane is going to wear number 22. 22 is famously Rudy Gay's jersey on the Grizzlies. But actually, Desmond Bane, he's going to be the fifth player to wear number 22 on the Grizzlies since Rudy Gay. So since Rudy Gay, this is going to be the fifth guy to wear number 22. I would ask you if you could name the other four. It's very challenging. The obvious one is Matt Barnes. I've already put some duct tape over my Matt Barnes jersey, so the back on the Barnes, got rid of the R, got rid of the S. It just says Bane. So Matt Barnes is the easy one. The other one I can remember was Jamal Franklin. And then the other two, this is if you're a real Grizzlies fan, Xavier Rathen-Mays and Tyler Dorsey. Both those guys were 22. So, yes, Rudy Gay, one of the great players in Grizzlies history, but his jersey has been worn a lot since he left. And then Xavier Tillman is going to wear number 2. Makes me think of Jarnell Stokes. But there's been a lot of dudes to wear number 2 on the Grizzlies. The most famous is Jason Williams with the first Memphis teams. And I do think it's going to be kind of weird when the Grizzlies wear the throwback Memphis 20th anniversary black jerseys that were Jason Williams jerseys. Him wearing 2 and it's saying Tillman, that part's going to be a little bit strange. In other news, some of the Las Vegas odds have been released. A couple of them that I found very interesting that were over at our buddies betonline.ag. They had most improved player odds. Anthony Sane actually pointed me to this. Jaren Jackson Jr. has the second best odds for most improved player at plus 1,400. So he's 14-1 to win most improved player. It's a wide open field. DeAndre Ayton is the favorite at 12-1 plus 1,200. I would say do not bet on Jaren Jackson Jr. to win most improved player. We all hope, you know, that 25 points per game he showed in the bubble could be a glimpse of what's going to come this season. But since most improved player is such a wide open field and a wide open race every year, do not bet on someone who we're pretty sure is going to miss the first month of the season. That's not good money. So, I mean, go to BetOnline, sign up using promo code BLUEWIRE. You want to get that big sign-up bonus. But probably don't bet on Jaren Jackson Jr. to win most improved player. What I do like, if you want to make a wager over there, Ja Morant plus 3,300. 33-1 for Ja Morant to win most improved player? Oh, I'm on that. That actually sounds kind of tasty. Maybe the perfect odds. So if you want to place that wager, or you want to get involved with any other NBA futures, put some money down on the Grizzlies to win the West, or bet on the win totals, the over-unders, do that at betonline.ag. And remember, promo code BLUEWIRE, and you will get that new sign-up bonus where they will double your opening deposit. Once again, betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. So, looking at this Grizzlies team, now that we have all these roster moves made, the salaries have been reported. The jersey numbers have been assigned. They're going to go to training camp, and this is a team with incredible continuity, like we've said. They're bringing back almost all the players from last year who played meaningful roles. Almost all the ones after the trade deadline. And so the biggest question for training camp, as training camp opens, I think it's an obvious one. It's like, who's going to start? Especially with Jaren and Justice injured. Like, we can look to last season, and it might be informative, because once again, it's all the same players. So last season, when Jaren Jackson Jr. got injured in February, we're talking before the shutdown, when he got injured in February, the next game the Grizzlies started, Brandon Clark in his place with Kyle Anderson at the three. You might remember after the trade deadline, the Grizzlies were starting Kyle Anderson at the three. So it was Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jonas Valanciunas. Not a perfect fit, but that's what they were doing. So when Jaren goes down, they plug in Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark gets hurt immediately. So now we have a Grizzlies team without Jaren Jackson Jr., without Brandon Clark, and without Justice Winslow. So that's very similar to what the Grizzlies are going to have opening this season. No Jaren Jackson Jr., no Justice Winslow. So for the next eight games before the shutdown, they moved De'Anthony Melton into the starting lineup. They started Ja Morant, De'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas. That's who I think they should start opening night. That'd be my guess, honestly, is they would start that. But the question I have is if they're going to have the same philosophy going into this season as they had going into last season. In a media availability last week, Taylor Jenkins said they're going to keep an open mind heading into training camp. They're going to have open competition. I mean, we know that's just what coaches say, I guess. And we know, like, Ja Morant's position is safe. We assume Jonas Valanciunas' position is safe, but I don't know if they're going to have the same philosophy as they had last year. If you remember in the bubble, when the bubble started, Jonas Valanciunas did not play that much in the first couple games. The very first game against the Trailblazers that went to overtime, Jonas Valanciunas only played 14 minutes. They went all Grizz next gen, basically in the fourth quarter and overtime. Brandon Clark set a season high, career high in minutes. De'Anthony Melton played almost 30 minutes a game. So, you know, my biggest question is, you know, who's going to start? Baked into that is, are they going to play Kyle Anderson and Jonas Valanciunas as much this season? Will there be a philosophical change where they say, no, we actually want to prioritize finishing games with Brandon Clark and getting Xavier Tillman on the court and getting Jontay Porter on the court? Will they ask Jonas to do a little bit less? I don't know. My complete guess is they're still going to play it like they're trying to win all the games, and they're going to have Jonas Valanciunas playing a big role, and they're going to chase that 8 seed. But I don't know. And that's a question. Going back to trying to figure out, based on last season, you know, who might be the starters and who might be in the rotation. So when Brandon Clark was injured and Jaren and Justice were out, it was Ja, De'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Jonas Valanciunas. I would guess that's who's going to start this year, but again, that's just a wild guess. When they got to the bubble, and then Jaren Jackson got himself injured again, they went back to that same lineup, but just for one game. The Ja, Melton, Dylan, Kyle, and Valanciunas. Then for the final five games of the Grizzly season, or maybe it's six, I don't know. I think it's five games, including the play-in game. The Grizzlies started, if you remember, Anthony Tolliver. They moved Melton back to the bench. They went Ja, Dylan, Kyle Anderson, Anthony Tolliver, Jonas Valanciunas. And the only other guys who played in the final few games of the season, it was that starting lineup, and then off the bench, Brandon Clark, Grayson Allen, D'Anthony Melton, Gorgui Dieng. Is that instructive at all? Because Anthony Tolliver's gone. There's no one on the roster who resembles Anthony Tolliver at all. Which is why I default to thinking they'll go back to what they did last season when Jaren was out. Maybe Brandon Clark will start. He notably struggled in starts last season, but it could have just been a fluke. He weirdly got hurt a couple games and didn't score a couple games. I can't remember what it finished. Did he average like 2 points per game when he started or 1 point per game when he started? I don't know. But it makes sense to me to start Brandon Clark at the four and Jonas Valanciunas at the five and then have Ja, Dylan, and D'Anthony Melton. I like that starting lineup too. Like maybe that makes more sense. Without Justice Winslow and without any other wings who I feel comfortable starting, I don't feel comfortable starting Grayson Allen at all. Desmond Bane is a complete mystery. In my mind, I don't believe he's real until I see him do good things at the NBA level. So because of that, it feels like you kind of need to start Melton because you're going to need Dylan Brooks to play the three. But those are the questions. I don't know. They really don't have a small forward that you feel super great about. I mean, Dylan Brooks is a smaller small forward. I like him there, which is why I keep thinking with the number of options now at, you know, shooting guard, which is Melton and Grayson Allen and even Desmond Bane, that, all right, we're going to size up. I mean, like the guy you need, you know, Mario Hezonja, funny enough, is like the right body size and shape that you want to play, but he's bad, as we've covered. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, it'll be exciting in a couple weeks when we see that first starting lineup or if they give us any information. If it is, Kyle Anderson once again running with the first unit, and then you got to kind of piece it around that and try to make it make sense. If Melton doesn't start and it's Dylan at the two again and it's Kyle at the three, it's not the worst thing. It's just not awesome. If it's Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Brandon Clark, Jonas Valanciunas. They tried it, I think, once last year. Actually, I can look this up. Hang on. They tried it 2 times. 0-2. But again, one of those games, Brandon Clark got hurt like 2 minutes into the game. So it's on the table. But it's really weird that they don't have anyone they can play at the three, it seems like. And I could envision a world where like they kind of move on from Kyle Anderson and they don't want really to play him. And in that scenario, I'm like, I don't know who they would play. Are they going to play all two-way players? This Sean McDermott guy? I don't know. But it'll be fun to keep an eye out for that. I'm sure people will ask him questions. Luckily, I'll be able to ask questions. One of the few good things about the pandemic, besides people will bring you food to your house and not open your door and just leave it on your porch, is the media stuff has gone virtual. So like I can do it from Nashville. And that's something I haven't been able to do in other years, is travel down to Memphis for a lot of the stuff that happens there. But anyway, I hope you guys are having a good one. I will keep you posted on all the Grizzlies news. And, let me know what your guess is for opening night starting lineups. I've said my piece, but curious what other people think. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a good one. Thanks for listening. Tell other Grizzlies fans about the show. Go Grizz.